are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.
All right, so we are going to be talking today about something that I discovered, and I think that I am eminently qualified to speak on, and that is the one thing to avoid in every disagreement. Now, I've not been shy about telling you about my history with relationships. I have had, I've been divorced 3 times, and I have struggled with relationships with friends, with work, et cetera, et cetera. And as you have heard through previous jump starts, I've discovered a number of things. It's attitudinal, it's behavioral, and I've worked on all of those things, both my attitude and my behavior. But I noticed that in my most recent marriage, we would sometimes get into some pretty heated arguments. I'm not recommending it. I'm not saying it's a good thing. And I don't think anyone chooses to get into heated arguments. That's the last thing you've got left. It's the last quiver in your, or the last arrow in your quiver. And so, boom, it goes off. And the interesting thing is, I loved having this corroborated by Dale Carnegie. The stuff that people fight about is rarely big stuff. It is almost always the little stuff that people fight about. It's not the big stuff. It's the little stuff, and then it compounds. The other day, and I'm going to again be very candid with you and share this with you because this is something really, really important. The other day, I was working with my daughter. Now, somebody... people are always saying to me, that must be so great and so challenging to work with your child. Bingo. Exactly. She would describe the same thing. It is so great to work with my dad, and sometimes it's really, really challenging. You've got two very different dynamic relationships going on simultaneously. And the other day, we were talking about something, and all of a sudden, I realized, we're arguing. Where did this come from? I can't remember the last time I had an argument. Why are we arguing? Where did this come from? And the moment I realized it, I said to myself, and I also said to her, I am not going to argue. I'm sure there's a better way we can work this out. And we gave it some time. We gave it about 24 hours, and we both thought about it, apologized, explained where we were coming from, and everything was fine. By the way, I apologized first. Sitting around and waiting on the other person is silly. If you feel like you've made some mistakes, own those. They're far more likely to own them with you. Now, they also may jump in and go, that's exactly right. And that ties in to what it is that I'm going to share with you today. So, before I give you this little thing, and we talk quite a bit about it, I want you to know that whenever you are in a relationship, you want to remind yourself of your desired outcome. Da-da-da. I know, that's blinding flash of the obvious. Tell me something I don't know. This is true Stephen Covey. This is the first of the 7 habits of highly successful people. Begin with the end in mind. We don't do that, unfortunately, with relationships. What is our long-term goal in the relationship? We don't think about that. We don't think about the war. We think about the battle, and we want to win every single little battle. And in so doing, we lose the war. I won a lot of arguments with my ex-wife. We still got divorced. She won a lot with me. We still got divorced. So, you want to know what your long-term outcome is. In other words, with my daughter, I always want to be dad to her. I want to be the person she wants to call to share her most exciting news and her biggest struggles. I want to just have such a great connection with her that we continue to be, not because actually we have 3 relationships. I would say we're very much friends. So all of those things complicate things. So you want to continue in your relationships with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, and or your children, etc. You want to remind yourself, I want to have a long-term happy relationship with this person. Now, it sounds, again, it sounds like I'm telling you something you don't need to know. Yes, you do. Because you forget it when you're in the middle of an argument. All you want to do is you want to win. And so what I want to get you to consider is think now. Think now about what your desired outcome for the relationship is, so that when you are in those moments of argument, you can go, whoa, 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 to yourself, you know what? All I really want in this relationship is for us to be happy long term, and I'm going to give this some space and let it work itself out, or I'm going to calm myself down, because what's important is that you and I are happy together for the long term. So begin with the end in mind. Now, here is the thing that I discovered. We've talked before about disagreements are normal. Disagreements are healthy. My daughter who works with me, Leah, and I disagree daily, a dozen times. I'll say, hey, like yesterday, I had this, what I thought was a brilliant idea. And she explained to me very patiently why it would never work. So disagreeing is a healthy thing. It's good to have someone who can help you look at other sides of that. So we actually want to appreciate that. Now, what happens in an argument, in a relationship? A lot of times people gunny sack. They hold things. They, you know what? I'm not going to talk about this now, but I'm going to put it in this bag. And when I'm mad at you, I'm going to dump it on you. That was one of the biggest problems in my most recent marriage. My ex-wife would never tell me anything was wrong, and then she would, like this. We actually had marriage meetings where we were supposed, there was a book on it, and it suggested that you talk about anything that was wrong. And in a year and a half of marriage meetings, she never had an issue, but then she would, so it was just kind of crazy. So here's the deal. When people get into arguments, a lot of times they feel threatened. Not a lot of times. We feel threatened. We feel threatened when we're in an argument. Why? Just like I was talking a couple of days about politics. For some reason, we consider someone disagreeing with us to be an existential threat to who we are, and we defend it. And in our defense, we can sometimes attack. You know, the Course in Miracles says that defense is a form of attack. So as we are defending ourselves, we are actually attacking the other person. And while we're on the attack, that's when we have to be careful, because we will start to attack the other person personally. We will not only try and make them wrong in the situation, we will try and make them wrong based on some sort of character defect we know they have, some sort of sensitivity we know they have. Now listen, if this is all a little too real for you, I don't know. Go watch Mr. Rogers. I'm telling you, this is what happens, and it happens before we know it. Well, of course you did this. You always do this. Notice that you try to make it about the person's character and not about the situation. By the way, this is not the thing yet that I've realized. I'm building to that. What I'm telling you is that when we have a disagreement, we feel threatened. We then sometimes, to bolster our opinion or our position, will attack the character of the other person, what they do, how they think, what they, whatever. They're, if it's about the socks being on the floor, it's their chronic and universal sloppiness, okay? Now, here's when the relationship goes, the argument or the disagreement goes off the rails. This is where it really, really gets bad. And I have seen it happen with me, and I've seen it happen with my ex-wife. I've seen it happen with my daughter. All right, here's what happens. She and I would be in an argument, okay? A disagreement. something we should have easily as adults been able to breathe through and work out, all right? But all of a sudden, it's something we're having to defend, which, remember, is a form of attack. So we're both defending, and now it's starting to get a little personal. It's about the other person's character, and she's attacking my character. Now, don't get me wrong. I did my share, okay? But she's attacking my character. You're always this way. You always this. You never this. Always, never, etc. Those words that don't allow for any humanity, because they're all about the person's character. So she's attacking my character. Now, when I start to believe it, when I develop that negative opinion of myself, that's when the whole thing goes off the rail. And I've seen it happen with other people when I've been arguing with them, disagreeing with them. And I've seen it happen with myself. Think of it as the two of you are on opposite sides of the table. You're arguing. And at some point, you get up, go over on the other side, sit down and go, "You're damn right. That's the problem. You're the problem." Marianne Williamson actually put it pretty well several years ago, decades ago, in her book. She said, our mind goes, "You're the problem, you're the problem, you're the problem, you're the problem, you're the problem," and it doesn't win. So ultimately you go, "You're right, I'm the problem." And when that happens, when you begin to attack yourself, you no longer have the resources to even work your way out of it. You feel so bruised and so permanently damaged. I've seen myself go this way. You know, oh man, darn, this happened. We had this argument and I thought that I was better than this. Well, you're never going to improve. You're never going to change. Contrary to all the evidence otherwise. But I get on the other side of the table and I have seen my ex-wife and I've seen my daughter go, "You're right." So we have to be careful. Number one, always stay on your own side. That doesn't mean you fight harder. It means that you don't turn around and start fighting yourself. You try and resolve the issue. You keep your mind on your long-term goals, which is to stay in a happy, healthy relationship with that person. So if that's the case, act that way. Number two, no matter what they say, don't attack yourself. And number three, this is critical, don't ever try and push the other person to the point where they attack themselves. I can tell you, I've been the one who has attacked myself in the argument, and I have seen other people then lose hope and help and become desperate or get into despair because, "You're right, I'm bad, I'll never change, I'll never improve." It's done at that point. It is done. It is done. So number one, remember your long-term goals for the relationship. Number two, keep yourself on your own side of the table in a loving way. Realize before something comes up, make a note, as I've suggested before, do your resume of all the places you are better, where you have improved, etc. And then if you truly care about this person, don't seek to beat them down. Seek to build them up even in that process. Is this easy? Hell no. And you can do it because I'm learning to do it and have learned to do it over the last decades and more every day. If it's important, the number one thing you all say you want from me is help with relationships. Well, it starts with you. Speaking of which, I need some topics for next week. So tell me what it is you would like for me to do a jumpstart on next week. If you're with me, please just do a comment saying, "Hey, jumpstart this or jumpstart that, would you please?" And that's what we'll talk about. Let me read some of your closing comments before we go in to calm down in our meditation group. Complaint-free meditation. Check it out. www.complaintfreemeditation.com. Looks like we got a lot of people checking in here. Ed says, "It's birthday weekend for me. Everybody send Ed something for his birthday. I just sent him a hug." How's that? Little care. It says care. To me, that's a hug. Like the news agency Reuters, without the S. Okay, Reuter. Got it. Happy birthday, Ed. Hello from New Hampshire, says Susan Lapierre. John Smith says South Carolina here, checking in from South Carolina. John, had a lot of focus on our home state recently, haven't we? Misty Mason says, your book, A Complaint-Free World, has changed my life. Thank you. I'm working on something having to do with that book that I think you're going to like. 55 on Sunday, says Ed. Ed, you're a kid. Congratulations to you. Have you read Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? Yes, I have, actually. It's been decades. It explained a lot and made a huge impact on my relationships. That's actually one of the many books I would recommend. That is a great book. All right, everybody, have a great and safe weekend. I don't know where I'm going to be come Monday because they're expecting sustained 60-mile-an-hour winds blowing by here, so it might be a little noisy. We'll work something out, though. We'll figure out how to get together if we can, and if not, you may get a great weekend. Those of you who are in the meditation group, now's your chance. Run to the restroom, and we're going to do our complaint-free meditation in just a few minutes. Make it a great day, and I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.